KSDP 830 AM Sandpoint, K201DA King Cove, KFPS Falls Pass.
Hello and welcome to Line One, Your Health Connection. I'm your host, Dr. Jillian Woodruff. Osteoporosis causes more than 2 million fractures in the United States each year. And for many, the first sign of bone loss is a devastating injury. Often called the silent disease, osteoporosis can progress for years without symptoms, quietly weakening the skeletal structure that holds us upright, active, and independent. A single fall can change everything. With standard treatments like calcium, vitamin D, and medications, they've been the norm for decades. Many people are now exploring an evidence-backed approach to building bone strength. This is called osteogenic loading. This method delivers brief, high-intensity force to stimulate new bone growth naturally, without impact or pharmaceuticals. Can we build stronger bones at any age? Amy Maloof is joining me today to answer this question and more. She is a community health advocate and owner of OsteoStrong Anchorage Midtown, a center dedicated to improving skeletal strength through precisely calibrated osteogenic loading technology. Amy is also a retired Alyeska ski patroller, where she saw firsthand both the power and the vulnerability of the human skeleton, from traumatic fractures to the remarkable resilience of the body under stress. Her personal story blends art and science. She's also a steel sculptor and welder, someone who works with strength, tension, and structure in both the body and the studio. Amy, welcome.
Thank you. It's so fun to be here.
Thank you so much, and you can also join our conversation. Have you ever had a bone density scan? Do you know your T-score? Have you or someone you love broken a bone from a simple fall? Call us toll-free statewide at 1-888-353-5752, 1-888-353-5752, in Anchorage at 907-550-8433. 907-550-8433, or email us at line1@alaskapublic.org. Amy, I know we are both really excited to talk about this topic today. We're going to talk about bone health. As a gynecologist, I thought I had a super strong grasp on bone health and osteoporosis and treatments, but in researching for today's topic, I realized that there is so much more to uncover. This is such a complex topic. I think that there are so many aspects of bone density and building our bone strength that isn't yet mainstream as it should be, considering how some of this research has been around for decades. So with that, I'd love to start with learning about you, and I want you to tell us a bit about your background and what got you interested in bone health and the starting of OsteoStrong.
Fabulous. Yeah, it's so fun to get to talk about such an important topic. And osteoporosis, for me, came on my radar when I was 16 years old because my mom had an osteopenia diagnosis at 46. And that just hit me like a ton of bricks. It's a moment I remember vividly. And it felt like an injustice. I was like, you know, okay, as women, we have babies, we raise kids, we do all these wonderful things, which are incredible. We're using our bodies to do these things. And then we hit this point in our life that is probably the time for us, right? Like we're postmenopausal. It's like, okay, I'm going to get to the books. I'm going to do the things I want to do. It's time to pour some energy into me. And wait a minute, I have to worry about the very structure of my body. Like my bones have the potential to degrade. And it affects women more than men, and for some reasons we can talk about. But it just, at 16, I was like, wait a minute, that's just not fair. And I remember I was angry. I was frustrated. And I was like, why? And this is so. It's been on my radar for a very long time. I didn't go into a health career. I went into art. I wanted to raise my kids and be at home. And I love building things. It's interesting. I've always had a skull collection. I've always loved bones. I've always been attracted to just the aesthetics of the skeletal structure. But I went into art and sculpture. Started welding. Started I've spent the last 20 years making art, building art in the community, working with galleries, working with clients, building custom railings for members or for clients, and then got into flying helicopters thinking that was my second career. Realized helicopters eat all the money, but I love the physics. Like, I loved, it was the physics of helicopters and just, like, these contraptions shouldn't be flying, but they are, and yet you can still lose an engine and auto-rotate. Like, how incredible. So just physics has always been a driver for me, and understanding how things work, how things are built, including the human body and my own health journey has been tumultuous at times. And yet, here I am with bodies heal, and that's, if we could buy a car that could heal itself in the same way that our bodies could heal, I would buy that car all day, every day. Like, that's, our bodies are truly incredible. Our tissues are meant to regenerate and heal, and bones are no different. So, a circuitous way to get to what I'm doing with my work. And I am, it feels like a melding of everything that I've been interested in now that I'm helping humans build themselves more accurately.
Right. I love how you said that. You know, our bodies are certainly really incredible and resilient.
Mm-hmm.
And we individually have so much power over what happens to our bodies.
Yeah.
Which is really amazing. We can really make, you know, there's, of course, medicine is a passion of mine, right? And,
mm-hmm.
and yes, I'm a pharmaceutical lover. There is certainly a role for, you know, medications and surgery and all of those things. But
absolutely.
What's even more incredible is the power that we have
mm-hmm.
to make changes, to heal, to prevent disease, if we can only just unlock that and get the knowledge that we need to do it.
Yeah, and figure out how to thread that needle. And that's where science comes in. Like, we need, like, more science, better science. Yeah, it's a great foundation. We know a lot more than we used to, especially about bones, especially about the musculoskeletal interaction and the nervous system. There's so much. There's so much to talk about. So
right.
We only have a short hour, but
right.
Man, it's going to be. I'm excited.
Well, I will also say, you said we need more science, and what I learn more and more is that the science is there, but just not available to everyone.
That's true.
Right.
So that's true.
We need to spread that. We need to open the paywalls. We need to
mm-hmm.
get the information out there, because people are doing incredible research and
mm-hmm.
Doing the studies that we need, but are they available to everyone? Are those results out there and being put to use?
That's a good point. Nice. That's a good point. Oftentimes when you go to read the research, you get stuck with the abstract
mm-hmm.
and you don't, unless you're going to pay a subscription, you're not going to actually even get to read that research.
Right.
And that's a thing.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, break this down for us. Can you tell us, what is osteopenia? What is osteoporosis? What is low bone density? What do we need to know?
Right. Okay. So the bone cells, osteocytes, are one of the longest living cells in the human body, for one. They have a lifespan of up to 25 years. So just understand that your bones and your bones that you've grown, and everyone that has bones know they can grow bones, as evidenced by the fact that you have bones. So a lot of people think that, oh, I have good bones or I have bad bones, and it's not as binary as that. It's actually on a spectrum, like most things. There, you can have higher bone density and you can have lower bone density. And so you can build your bones into positive strength. You can get your bones quite a bit stronger. We see this with tennis players. Their dominant hand has higher bone density. Those bones that have experienced more loading have higher bone density. Gymnasts, power lifters, slalom skiers, higher bone density. And so we know we can affect this in positive ways based on our actions. And so where osteoporosis, osteopenia start, and eventually everyone will hit osteoporosis or osteopenia, given just the natural course of aging and how we typically use our bodies. This isn't dictated, but it's general, because if we're doing the same things, which as we age, we start protecting our knees and we stop loading our bones as much, because our knees are the things that hurt. So of course that's, you know, we don't feel our bones. Nobody feels their bones getting weaker. You don't feel your bones getting stronger. But what we feel is our knees, and we're like, oh yeah, okay, so I'm gonna walk more gently, I'm gonna change my gait, and in changing that gait to protect your joints, you're loading your bones less, so they're getting less stimulus. And osteopenia starts, and you can look up these charts, but osteopenia starts at a minus one, and goes to minus 2.5, and osteoporosis starts at minus 2.5. And these are T-scores based on a DEXA scan. So, and there's a, you can go in, talk to your doctor, get a DEXA scan, and you'll get a T-score. That will tell you where you are relative to a healthy 30-year-old. So mm-hmm. zero on a T-score, osteopenia, osteoporosis scale is equivalent to an average bone density of a healthy 30-year-old.
Which means it really just in the 50th percentile, right? So you're...
Yeah, I'm not really satisfied with my health metrics match up with the average 30-year-old.
Yes,
like, that's
exactly.
not, that's insufficient. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not stoked about that. I'm like, well, okay, that's baseline. Like, my standards are higher. I want to be healthier than the average 30-year-old. I'm not that impressed with the average 30-year-old.
Right.
Right now on the planet.
But good. But if you are, then you would have a normal bone density diagnosis.
So yeah.
This is the DEXA scan, dual energy X-ray
absorptiometry. Yep.
So they are going to be, it's an aerial, it's a 2D X-ray,
yeah, it's
very
a 2D
low
X-ray.
Radiation.
Mm-hmm. You lay on a bed, it gathers grams of bone per centimeter squared. So it's just a measurement of quantity. It's not a measurement of quality. It's not measuring living bone versus dead bone in your body. It's just measuring how much bone. So that's important to note. And you can talk to your doctor. Medicare will pay for essentially a DEXA scan every 2 years. But if there's reason to get a DEXA scan earlier, which I think everyone in their 40s should get a DEXA scan, because then you have a baseline. Then you know what your bones are. How much bone you're starting with, and all these measurements are truly relative to you. Like, who cares how much mm-hmm. someone else has, right?
Right.
It's like, so getting a DEXA scan earlier is, I think, great advice. And there's a couple different companies that do this in town that you can go pay out of pocket. If it's under $200, you can go get a DEXA scan. It's quick, it's painless, low radiation, less radiation than a commercial airline flight.
Right. Yes. Well, I think that's one of the disappointing things about this screening test. You know, it's a screening test to see what your bone density is, if you have osteopenia, if you have osteoporosis. But like you said, Medicare will pay for that, meaning at 65, mm-hmm. they're recommending that you have your DEXA scan and you go from there. And that, to me, is definitely not early enough. And of course, there's some guidelines. So if you're at high risk or have risk factors, then you can get them earlier. But it's one of those things that prevention versus do I wait until I have osteoporosis and then find out?
Right, right. Well, and you bring up some great points. Like, we know we start losing bone density at 30. We know that. And it's about 1% a year for most people. The reason this affects men more than women is because men have more bone to start with. They just have, they're bigger, their bones, they have more quantity to start mm-hmm. with.
So, more weight bearing in general
yeah,
throughout life.
So then they're loading their bones more as well,
right.
because they are heavier.
Right.
The women, the people that this affects the most are light, thin women, like, because we're just not loading our bones as much as we could.
Right. You know, an interesting thing about that is my passion is in hormones. And, you know, with women, when we go through menopause, then you have this rapid acceleration of bone loss, and mm-hmm. that is something that's very disappointing. So if you aren't doing any hormone replacement, which many people start after they've gone through menopause, so now they've already missed that. Mm-hmm. You know, they already had the acceleration. And there's a lot of people that won't even consider in people until they've gone through menopause. But at that point, now we are making up lost ground.
Yeah, and that brings up just kind of the approach that we have. Do we want to wait till something gets bad and then we fix it, or do we want to keep something good and never let it get bad? And the risks with letting your bones, for lack of better words, to get bad, get low bone density, is your strength and power is directly related to your skeletal system. So your skeletal system is the foundation of your bodies. It's the structure. It's what dictates. It's the frame that we hang everything on. And so and the nervous system is governing the interaction between your muscles and your bones. When we think about building, like, how do I build strength and power? We think about going to the gym, lifting weights,
yes,
like pumping iron, and that's great. That's a great, like, that's focusing on muscles. But what we're missing in that interaction is the skeletal system. Actually, the strength of our skeletal system dictates how much muscular potential we have. Period. So, and one way to look at that is your nervous system is always protecting you. It will never allow your muscles to break your bones. So as we start losing bone density, what we should be thinking of, well, what we typically notice, no one feels their bones. You don't feel your bones getting weaker. You don't feel your bones getting stronger. You only feel your bones if there's a fracture. So when we start losing bone density, your nervous system actually down-regulates your muscles to match the strength of your bones. So you're losing strength while you're losing your bones, while your bone density is decreasing, and you blame it on age, you blame it on deconditioning, you blame it on, oh, I'm just not doing the things I was. It's actually your nervous system keeping you safe, which is a good thing, by lessening the amount of muscular potential you have so that it matches your bones, so your bones don't break. Which is wild to think about, right?
Yes.
Like we don't think about our bones very much.
No, I didn't think about that at all, actually, with the muscles. You know, mm-hmm. I know that we start suffering muscle loss. You know, sarcopenia mm-hmm. is how we refer to it. So I knew that, and mm-hmm. part of that are medications that we're taking. Some of that's just sedentary lifestyle. But I wasn't aware that it was also like kind of a feedback mechanism.
Totally.
If our bones aren't strong enough for those muscles, then they... Like that down regulation, that's a new concept. I don't know if I may have heard it before and just didn't remember, but wow, that's wild.
Yeah, it's just physics.
And then you become frail.
Yeah.
You know, that's where frailty comes.
Absolutely.
And then it snowfalls from there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And so the inverse is true. If as you strengthen your skeletal system, you get more access to your power. And so one of the ways to look at this nervous system interaction, you know those stories of people picking up a car off of a loved one?
Like adrenaline
kicks in, they override their nervous system. They're in this extreme scenario, and they move this incredibly heavy thing off of a loved one, like superhuman force, right? Their muscles did that. Their muscles that they have in their body did that. That's an example of overriding your nervous system. Like, we have so much electrical muscular potential in our bodies at all time. It's just that we only get access to a little bit of it. And as you start strengthening your skeletal system, your muscles will actually follow in regaining strength or maintaining strength, either one. Wild, right? Isn't that cool?
It is so cool. Well, maybe tell us about risk factors for osteoporosis. And then we should probably go back to the DEXA scan mm-hmm. because we mentioned the T-score and how your bone density is compared to that of a healthy 30-year-old. And that's what will lend to the diagnosis. And we didn't talk about the Z-score. And I think that is very interesting, as that is comparing you to somebody at your own age, your own race,
mm-hmm.
And your own, it's age, race, and there's something else. Oh, your sex, of
yeah.
course. So can you tell us about what are the risk factors? Who is more at risk for osteoporosis?
So women tend to be more at risk for osteoporosis by it, at least in the early stages of losing bone density. And so women are at higher risk because of hormones, like you mentioned, and also we're smaller. We're just loading our bones less. We have less to start with. So women, there's other demographics as well. White women, Asian women, also higher risk factors. Those are eventually, men think they're out of the woods, though. They're not necessarily out of the woods. It's osteoporosis will catch up with them. It's just a matter of time. And my own father, most men I talk to are like, oh, yeah, my bones are good. And it's also important to remember that it's not a good or bad. It's a spectrum. How strong are your bones? How strong are your bones relative to yourself? And how strong are your bones relative to your peers? So talking to my own dad, I was like, hey, Dad, have you had your bone density checked? And he's like, no, I don't need that. I'm good. I've been a runner. I'm strong. Um, I'm, I'm, I'm sure my bones are fine. I said, well, that's great. I'm glad you're sure your bones are fine, but we actually don't know that. So go get a DEXA scan and let's actually see if your bones are fine. So he's my dad, 78-year-old man. He's been a runner most of his life. He's strong. He's like, I learned exercising from him. We'd go running together. And he looks great. He looks fitter and stronger than most of his peers. And so finally I talked him into going to get a DEXA scan, and he found out that he was in osteopenia. He was stunned. 78 wow. years old, and he was like, wait a minute, how am I in osteopenia? And it's so underdiagnosed for men. We don't have these numbers because they're not getting scans.
Yes, we have two emails from men, actually, and both of them are talking about, or they want you to comment on, osteoporosis in men. And, you know, I will admit I don't know the guidelines for men, right? Is it the same age? Or are they getting this DEXA scan at 65? Are people talking to them about getting DEXA scans? And, you know, your father, who is an athlete, I think you talked to me about running and the difference between sprinting and endurance running, mm-hmm. and how the sprinting can increase bone density, but the endurance running doesn't necessarily. So,
right.
But I've seen some, you know, pictures and videos of older men in their 70s that have muscular strength and calf size is the same as a 20-year-old. Mm-hmm. So I know that the power for older people is there if they, you know, have the guidance. We're all learning, right?
Right.
So what is it in men? Why aren't they being screened? Why aren't we talking to them about osteoporosis? And I will also just say a very interesting thing that I learned was, although it's more common in women, mm-hmm. when hip fractures occur, it's more common for the men to die within that first year.
Oh, interesting.
That was very surprising to
yeah.
me. It's about 20% of people will die in that first year, and most commonly men.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you bring up hip fracture, which is the risk. You know, people don't die from a broken wrist. They don't die from mm-hmm. a lot of different little breaks. They don't die from being weak, but a broken hip, because of the complications and the massive, you know, the vasculature to the area, it's a big deal. And yeah, hip fracture and subsequent mortality rate is incredibly high. I think it's like 33% will die within or 50% will die within that first year. I don't remember the details on that one. It's all over the internet. But so that the stats are incredibly high on just the risk factors. A broken hip is not what you want.
Yeah.
It is not what you want. And think about how much bone you would have to lose. The femur is the largest bone in our body. It's a big, thick bone.
And that's what they're looking at with that DEXA scan, right? It's hip and spine.
Hip, spine, and then mm-hmm. you have a total hip. Yeah.
And a total hip. Okay.
Yeah, and that's with a DEXA scan that you're going to get. So if you get a referral from your doctor to go get a DEXA scan, that's what
you're getting.
Those are the results that'll be printed on that. There are different kinds of DEXA scans. Same machine, but a different set of data that you get out of that.
Okay.
I think last couple weeks ago you talked with Peak Performance with Coach B, mm-hmm. and
yes, she yeah. told me that there's a lot more that comes on that DEXA scan.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool.
We do have to take our first break, so we're going to get into what we can do to build our bones after we take this break. You are listening to Line One, Your Health Connection. If you have a question or comment for our guest today, give us a call statewide at 1-888-353-5752. In Anchorage at 907-550-8433. After this short break, we will continue our discussion of osteoporosis and bone health with Amy Maloof as Line 1 continues statewide.
You're listening to Line 1 from Alaska Public Media. You can find Line 1 on alaskapublic.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Did you know 100 years ago, the chances of a baby dying in Alaska before their first birthday was almost 10%? Because of advances in public health like sanitation, access to clean water, vaccines for children, and access to health care in rural communities, the chances of dying are now less than 1%. To learn more about what the Alaska Department of Health is doing to improve Alaskans' health for the next 100 years, visit health.alaska.gov. This message sponsored by the Alaska Department of Health.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Line One, Your Health Connection on Alaska Public Media. I'm your host, Dr. Jillian Woodruff. Before we dive back in, I want to reintroduce our guest, Amy Maloof, owner of OsteoStrong Anchorage, a center that uses short, high-intensity, low-impact loading to stimulate bone growth and improve strength. She's also a helicopter pilot and someone who truly lives what she teaches when it comes to staying active and strong. You can join our conversation today. Have you ever been told that taking calcium and vitamin D would help to improve your bone density without really knowing if it's helping? Are you concerned about taking medications for osteoporosis and wondering if there are alternatives? Call us toll-free statewide at 1-888-353-5752, in Anchorage at 907-550-8433, or email us at line1@alaskapublic.org. Before the break, we did get a question from Chris and Homer that asked about the difference between the DEXA scan and a CT scan for bone density. And I don't know that we can, you know, answer that today. What I do know is that CT scans are more detailed, and of course, there's more radiation in a CT scan. The DEXA scan is the gold standard for testing bone density, but, you know, as you know, screening tests are developed because you want to do something that is available to the masses at also a lower cost, and that will make sure to catch people that have whatever issue there is. So a CT scan is something that, you know, may not be covered by insurance. I'm not sure about that, but there's probably certain criteria you'd have to meet to have that CT scan. So higher radiation, and it is a more detailed study of bone density. So thank you for that question. And then we have another question I think that we will get to in a bit after we start talking about osteogenic loading and what we can do to improve that bone density. So we talked about osteoporosis. We know about the supplements that are recommended. And what I want to hear more about is this process of building our bone density and our bone structure without medications, because I think when people may be diagnosed or they're told they have osteopenia, they may just be told at osteopenia, when they have that they can, you know, take some calcium or some vitamin D and do weight bearing exercises. I think that's probably the standard advice, and then they're off on their own. And what do they do with that?
Absolutely. That is the standard advice. And it's not bad advice. It's founded in great assumptions and research and what we know. But if that advice worked, OsteoStrong wouldn't be a business. Mm-hmm. We wouldn't exist. So the standard advice is take some calcium, take some vitamin D, do some weight-bearing exercise. Okay. Also, they're leaving out vitamin K2, so add that one in there. That one's incredibly important. That's like the transporter.
Okay, so K2 is like drives calcium into the bones? Is that what it's doing?
Yeah, it's responsible for getting. So a lot of times when people start taking calcium, then there's research on this talking about why maybe taking just calcium in general for your bones is not necessarily a great idea. So the analogy I make with this is with taking calcium and hoping it turns into bone is as misguided as, or inadequate, I would say, as eating a whole bunch of protein and hoping it turns into muscle.
Does it not?
I know, right? I wish.
Darn.
And so you have to do something. You have to do the stimulus. You have to do that action that tells the body, okay, what do I do with all this calcium? If you without doing something like osteogenic loading or some other very intense way of loading the skeletal system, that calcium turns into kidney stones and it gathers around the heart. And we have research on this now. So we know that that's not necessarily a good idea. People are starting to take a step back from that one.
Yes.
Yeah, it used to be calcium all day, every day. You can't get too much. Your body knows just what to do with it. It's not, that's just not the case. And so that's, yeah. Go.
But I just wanted to interject. It's not that calcium isn't important. It's super important.
Yeah.
But if we don't give the other things that are needed, calcium can go in the wrong direction, like you said, getting into our blood vessels, causing kidney stones. And I think that's where a lot of the advice was pulled back because of the increase of kidney stones, but it's not because calcium isn't important.
Needed.
We do need the calcium, but in
absolutely.
The bones.
Absolutely. And so how do you get that calcium to go to the bones? And activity is the way you get it to go to the bones. You do enough activity to get the bones basically thirsty for calcium. And so that's the question, like how much activity? And so back to research, in 2012, there was a great study that was done in the UK, and this was 724 adolescents they were using to determine how much force does the femur need to experience to get a significant osteogenic response, meaning building new bone. So that was the question that this research team was trying to address and answer. And what they found out was 4.2 multiples of body weight was the minimum, the starting point of meaningful load. So, okay, 4.2 multiples of body weight, that's a wildly large number. So if you do the math, 150-pound person equates to that femur needs to experience a minimum of 630 pounds of force to get and that's the starting point. So like, okay, I can't lift 630 pounds. There's no way I can lift 630 pounds. How do I get my body to experience that force? And what they did in the study with their group was jumping off a 38-centimeter box and landing without much cushioning.
Not protecting yourself.
You're jumping from a hard surface to a hard surface, 38 centimeters. That'll load your bones 4.2 multiples of body weight. And also running anything faster than a 9.5-minute mile will equate to 4.2 multiples of body weight. The catch-22 is joints. So most of the people I'm talking to, most of the people that come into OsteoStrong that are in low bone density are like, you know, I'm not going to go, I can go jogging, but it's more like a 10-minute mile or 11-minute mile. Is that still helpful? And it's like, well, it depends on your body. It depends on how your joints are. It depends on a whole host of other things. I have many members that really shouldn't be running. They're barely walking, you know, like people that are bone on bone in one of their knees. How do they, like, they should definitely not be going, jumping off boxes, running a 9.5-minute mile. That would be a terrible idea for most of these people. And so that research gave us the answer that we were looking for, right? In 2012, that's not that long ago. This is not, like, it takes typically about 20 years to get into the medical system, new research. And so talking about it on air, that's a great way to get it in a little bit quicker.
Right.
And so now, and this research, we have links to this research on our website. You can go and read it. It's a great paper. And so for regular people, how do we do this? That's what we do at OsteoStrong. So I have members that are easily pushing 4.2 multiples of body weight and many much higher.
Wow.
I have members pushing 9 multiples of body weight, 11 multiples of body weight. And it's just, it's physics and mechanical advantage and then your body's natural systems. We're not loading any bones at OsteoStrong. You're loading your own bones. So the strength of your muscles and your own skeletal system, you come and you sit in, we have four different devices that we use for this. One of them looks, they all kind of look like weightlifting equipment, but they don't do a range of motion. With weightlifting, you're doing a range of motion. You're going from, like, take a bench press, for example. You're really, the bar is really close to your chest, and that's the hardest part of that workout. This is a range of motion. So as you're going through, or like a push-up, same thing. You're really close to the ground. That's the hardest part of that motion. As you go through that motion, your arms get more extended. You get into a biomechanically more powerful position. Kind of think of it like more like a plank. If you're in a plank with your arms, with your bones just stacked right over each other, you're
straight arm planks.
So yeah,
you're going from flexion to extension.
Full extension.
At
yeah.
The gym.
Yep. And so in that fully extended position, your bones are just stacked right over each other. You can carry a whole bunch of weight with your bones just directly stacked or axially loaded. That's the other phrase for how we're doing this. And so at OsteoStrong, you come in, you're with a coach for your entire session. You push on our devices and they measure feedback of how many pounds of force you're actually producing. So as you go through that push, and you're not doing a range of motion, so you're just going from your biomechanically most powerful position, meaning no, like almost straight arms. Your arms are at just slightly bent, and then the devices don't move. So as you push on these devices, you're loading your own bones, and it measures the amount of force that you're producing. So it's measuring just the force you're producing is also the force you're experiencing in these devices. So most women, when they come in and they start pushing, and they're with the coach, we do a test push and then we do a real push. As they start pushing, they can push anywhere between 100 and 400 pounds on their first push. Most women are about 200 to 300 pounds of force they can produce with their upper body. And these are just regular women. Any regular human off the street can come in, and we can do an osteogenic loading session, and those numbers are going to be, they're going to be able to produce about 200 to 300 pounds of force easily. And so in that, as you go and start pushing, you're watching those numbers go up, and you stop at that point where you're just kind of shaking a little bit. You hold it for 5 seconds, and then you gently come back out. So it's really easy.
But you're not coming all the way back to flexion.
Yeah, you're not. You're just unweighting the devices. Yeah, and they're not even really moving. You're just you're basically between a rock and a hard place, and you're able to produce a ton of force because you have a ton of leverage, and week after week after week, your body responds to that force that you're experiencing. And you're an osteogenic loading session. You're loading your own bones with the strength of your muscles. And we give everyone a free session because it's really hard to understand.
Explain
especially
that
over the radio.
Yes.
It's physics and mechanical advantage that allow you to achieve these forces. And just like with powerlifting, just like with skiing, we know these forces produce a response in the body, but with osteogenic loading, there's no risk. You're not catapulting yourself down a mountain to get those G forces.
Yeah,
you're not jumping.
Are they sweating? Are they breathing hard? Sweating? How long are these sessions?
It takes an osteogenic loading session takes about 15 minutes. You don't breathe hard at all. You do two pushes on each device. So you do a test push and then you do your real loading push. And then you go on to the next device. So you can be in and out of OsteoStrong in 15 minutes and have your skeletal system fully loaded. And then you come back the next week, you do the same thing. The magic happens with osteogenic loading in between the sessions when your body's responding and adapting to those forces you just put on it. So calcium, collagen, vitamin D, vitamin K, having all those in your system gives your body the building blocks to actually respond to those forces you just put it through your bones, because your nervous system's like, okay, she's loading her bones more than she ever has. Let's rebuild them. And that's what happens. And that's what we're seeing. And we verify with a DEXA scan.
Wow. That's fascinating. So you talked about you're stimulating, mm-hmm. but they have to go home and do these other things. So not just taking these supplements, but the nutrition that they're doing at home is going to be important too. You mentioned collagen. That's very, you know, I talk about collagen a lot for skin.
Yeah.
But for bones and ligaments, it's important to have that collagen too. Mm-hmm. And then I'm thinking with these forces, we're building bone. Are we also building muscle then?
Yeah.
And then is protein also important because we're stimulating muscle group?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, protein is key. Protein is important. Protein, our bodies are made out of protein. Not everything, but it's critical.
Collagen's a
protein. Mm-hmm. And if you take bones and boil them down, say you take moose bones and put them in a crock pot, you boil them down, you're going to get a very gelatinous substance. That's collagen. So great source of collagen. And especially, we are lucky here as Alaskans. We have such good access to amazing, amazing food and that's incredible. But making sure that your body is operating optimally, and everything's connected from gut health to our regulated nervous system to like health and wholeness doesn't happen by one or two little mechanisms or a couple supplements. Everything's connected. Our bodies are incredibly, incredibly beautiful healing machines. Like, we are designed to heal.
Yeah, that's interesting. Just as you mentioned, gut health, because that determines how you absorb mm-hmm. these things that you're taking, whether it's supplements or whether you're absorbing these through high quality foods that you're eating. If you're not absorbing them, then even though you're putting them in your mouth, that's not going to serve the purpose that we want it to serve.
Yeah, you might not. Yeah, just because you're eating them and ingesting them doesn't mean your body's getting access to them. And that's critical. So I talk with my members a lot about overall holistic health and refer to different practitioners in town. Gut health is critical. Mm-hmm. Between our nervous system and our gut biome, our little egos are in charge of very little.
Tell us about the results that you're finding. So they're coming, they're doing a 15-minute session only, you know, once a week. What are you seeing? What results do you see?
So we verified results a couple different ways. So a DEXA scan is a great way to do it. And keeping in mind that a DEXA scan is only a metric of quantity. It's not a metric of quality. So like what we really care about is how strong are your bones are. Are your bones going to allow you to do the things you want to do long, like for the rest of your life? And so verifying with a DEXA scan is one of the ways we do it. So we recommend that our members have a DEXA scan to start or within 6 months to a year of starting, as close as possible is better, and then a follow-up DEXA scan. But in between then, so that's typically a long time to wait for a DEXA scan to verify results, right? Like that's a long time.
Right, because it takes time, right? You mm-hmm. have to
it's gonna
mineralize
be, it's gonna be
that
1 to 2 years.
Beforehand. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so that's a long time to say, hey, this is working, just believe it, right? Because you don't feel your bones getting stronger. But what we notice with our members is they come in and they're telling us stories of like, hey, I lifted this, I moved that. I had a member, she was in her 70s. She came in, one day she was so excited because they were doing a project and she needed to move some concrete bags. And she's like, I just knew I could do it. Like 5 years ago, there's no way I could have done this. But after doing OsteoStrong and coming in and just feeling stronger in my back, feeling more powerful, I had moved 15 bags of 80-pound bags of concrete, and I wasn't sore the next day. Stories like mm-hmm. that I'm hearing, and that's, you know, I have a million of these from my members.
Better recovery.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so more strength and power, more stability. Typically, when people start coming to OsteoStrong, the first thing they notice is an improvement in balance. So we do a lot of balance training. We have vibration plates that we do. We start out, so someone comes in, they do 5 minutes on the vibe plate, and we do some coordination
vibration plate.
On the vibration plate. We do coordination exercises, brain training, all stretching, whatever feels good, like follow what your body wants kind of thing. And so an improvement in balance is the first thing people notice. The second thing they notice is an overall decrease in osteoarthritic pain, which is really fun to see. Like people are like, yeah, that I feel better, I'm moving better. And we can see it just in how our members are walking, how our members are holding themselves. We notice posture improvements. We have people growing in their 60s and 70s.
Height, right? Yeah. Because that is a symptom of osteoposis. People mm-hmm. shrink, basically.
Yep. Yeah, this kyphosis, this curve on the back, that upper part of your back starts curving, and you get this kyphosis. Yeah. We see that correcting when people start doing consistent osteogenic loading.
Wow. Yeah. So you can actually grow taller.
You can grow taller. Yeah, we only count it if it's a quarter inch or more.
That's significant.
Yeah. Well, because a quarter inch, you're going to fluctuate a quarter inch in a day anyway, just mm-hmm. on your discs. Mm-hmm. So quarter inch or more, that's success. And so that's a really fun one. We have multiple members that have had bone on bone in one of their knees. They come in to me and they say, I have a knee replacement scheduled, or I've been recommended for a knee replacement. I really don't want to do this. Will this help? And my answer to that is, let's see. I don't know. Everyone is different, and depending on how much is going on in that knee, like it's not a for sure this will cure your osteoarthritis. It's a stimulus, and the body maintains what it uses. And when you're doing osteogenic loading, every joint in that kinetic chain is experiencing load, so it also gets maintained. So we've seen a lot of knee replacements that just aren't happening anymore because our members feel better. Wow. Multiple knee replacements, multiple hip replacements, that if once you start using that in that way, it gets maintained. And then there's cases where it doesn't, where that totally doesn't prevent the knee replacement, but because you've loaded your bones enough, say you've been with us for 6 months before that knee replacement happens, much better odds that knee replacement
and more muscle strength to protect mm-hmm. that new knee, right?
Absolutely. So the bones are denser when that surgery needs to happen. You have better material to attach to.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we have to take one more break for the stations down the line. But if you have a question or comment for our guest today, give us a call statewide at 1-888-353-5752. In Anchorage at 907-550-8433. We'll continue our discussion on low bone density with Amy Maloof when we return. You're listening to Line 1, Your Health Connection on Alaska Public Media.
You're listening to Line 1 from Alaska Public Media. You can find Line 1 on alaskapublic.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Did you know 100 years ago, the chances of a baby dying in Alaska before their first birthday was almost 10%? Because of advances in public health like sanitation, access to clean water, vaccines for children, and access to healthcare in rural communities, the chances of dying are now less than 1%. To learn more about what the Alaska Department of Health is doing to improve Alaskans' health for the next 100 years, visit health.alaska.gov. This message sponsored by the Alaska Department of Health.
Welcome back to Line 1. I'm your host, Dr. Jillian Woodruff. Our guest today is Amy Maloof, owner of OsteoStrong, a facility in Anchorage dedicated to bone health. Clients are delivered short, high-intensity, low-impact loading to stimulate bone growth and improve strength. Why don't you join our conversation today? Do you know what to eat or what supplements to take to protect your bones as you age? Call us toll-free statewide at 1-888-353-5752, in Anchorage at 907-550-8433, or email line1@alaskapublic.org. Amy, we have a caller that I like to take. We've got Bill. Is that Anchorage? Bill,
yes,
welcome to Line 1. Hi.
I'd like to thank you both, and Amy in particular, for all the work you've done with patrollers down there. We feel pretty safe when we're down there. Anyway, I'm going to get my knee replaced. I've been eating a lot of protein. It's going to be a partial, and my left leg is considerably larger than my right leg as far as the quad goes. And your dad, how did he end up having that bone thing? And I'll just take it off there if that's okay.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, so, My dad's, I think, fairly typical in what most men are probably experiencing. It's just that we're not doing testing. And I think that most men in their 70s, if they went and got a DEXA scan, they would find out that their bones are not quite as strong as they think they are. So screening earlier. And if your doctor won't write you an order for it, go to DEXAFIT or Peak Performance and get a DEXA scan yourself. So I would hop on that one. It's your information. You may as well have all that data. It's sooner the better. And you want to find out when keeping your bones strong is always so much better than letting your bones get weak and then finding out after a fracture. That's how most men find out they're in osteopenia, is they've already had a fracture. And that is just, that's too late, right? It's just too late.
It's too late, right.
And then,
well, I guess it's not too late.
It's not too late. It's later.
But not too late because you can.
Exactly.
You can build, but this is something you can do at any age, right? So you can make a difference, but you're coming from a greater deficit.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Thank you. That's much more clear, and it's perfect. So it's not too late, and it's always worth. You can rebuild back, but it's easier to stay strong than rebuild. For sure.
Well, speaking of insurance and the money it takes to keep ourselves healthy, you did mention that there are places where you can pay cash, really, with a DEXA scan. DEXA scan is a screening test that's open to everyone, but like you mentioned, it's pretty late in age where it's covered. So if you should see your provider first to see if you can get this covered by your insurance, if you have insurance. If not, then there are facilities like your facility and Peak Performance, which you mentioned, which do cash only. Also, radiation facilities, they do have typically some cash payment prices. So these are things that you could get. Now, whether you can get them without a prescription or a referral, I should say. I don't know if that is possible. I think you'd still need a referral, but if your insurance doesn't cover it, then you could pay a cash payment, which sometimes it's 50% less than the insurance cost. Mm-hmm. But with your facility, you do not need to have any sort of referral, right? So you can just go in and have that with you?
Absolutely. Well, and we don't do DEXA scans.
Okay.
We don't do DEXA scans, and I actually like it that way because you know, if you come to me and I say, hey, you're in low bone density, and now come and we'll fix it, and then I tell you we're out of low bone density.
Little conflict of interest. Okay.
Exactly. So I love that we don't do DEXA scans, DEXAFIT and Peak Performance, and then there's lots of other
DEXAFIT.
DEXAFIT. Okay. Yeah, they're one of the newer companies in town that's doing that, and
so that's in Anchorage.
Yep.
And if you're not in Anchorage, are there places where people, like, is there a central location online where somebody can look to find these resources?
DEXAFIT has they're nationwide. They're a franchise as well. OsteoStrong is a franchise. DEXAFIT is a franchise. It's a great way to get these resources kind of disseminated across the country. And, DEXAFIT has a great website. You can go hop on and schedule an appointment. As far as not... You know, Alaska is such a big state. I have members coming from all over the state to come to OsteoStrong. I have members from Fairbanks. I have members from Homer, Seward. It's people come for this, and you know, it's only once a week, so you only need to. You can come in, do an osteogenic loading session. I had a physical therapist that flies down from Fairbanks for her appointment every week. Wow. She flies down, Ubers over, does her last eugenic loading session, goes back, and is seeing patients back in Fairbanks by noon. So that, you know, which exemplifies the needle that we're threading as far as loading and protecting the joints that we can do at OsteoStrong, that even as a physical therapist, they're not able to achieve these forces with everything they know. And physical therapists, like, shout out to physical therapists.
So they're doing, like, resistance training and...
Yeah, and okay. Those are still
which is
less...
Good. But less force.
Less effective. Okay. Less effective as far as stimulus. And and then back to the answering the caller's question, he's going into a knee replacement, a partial knee replacement, and asked about protein. So protein is very important for us to get at all ages of our life. And it's also a pretty conflicting macronutrient. You know, there's a lot of ethical concerns with protein. There's a lot of source concerns. Protein's tricky. One of the supplements that I really love is Perfect Aminos or Optimal Aminos. They're essential amino acids. They're in pill form or powder form, and they're basically pre-digested protein. So they get into your body within 23 minutes of ingestion. And I love this supplement. I recommend this to a lot of people, especially people that have been have dealt with cancer or chemotherapy. Essential amino acids, that truly the building blocks of our bodies, and they're lab-made proteins, so they're a little bit, there's less ethical issues as far as something needed to die for me to keep building my body.
Right.
That's a hard one. So I love essential amino acids for that reason, and
so
I would
are
recommend
you doing
them
that instead of the protein.
It's a yes
in
and.
Addition to
yeah.
That.
So I still focus on, like, nutritionally, I focus on protein with every meal that I eat. And so kind of build the meal around the protein, and then I'll supplement it with essential amino acids in the morning and at night. Because our bodies rebuild themselves while we're sleeping and when we're in our rest and digest mode, our parasympathetic nervous system. Yeah, so I love essential amino acids for that. Your body rebuilds itself while you're sleeping. And so pre-surgery, go get some essential amino acids, and there's a lot of great brands for that.
I have some listener emails. One of them would like to know about insurance use with OsteoStrong. They said that OsteoStrong is classified as a gym, which, you know, makes sense to me. Is there any insurance coverage? Or is this, can you use your flexible spending account or health savings account?
Fabulous. Fabulous question. Yes, you can use your health savings account. You can use your flex savings account. So HSAs, FSAs work great at OsteoStrong. We do have full coverage for, and it is classified as a gym. We are not medical. I think that's a very important thing to say. I'm not medical. My team is not medical. We are not a medical establishment. We do a process called osteogenic loading, and that is that's what we specialize on. So not being medical, we do accept insurance from United Healthcare Renew Active. Someone with United Healthcare Renew Active can come into OsteoStrong, do osteogenic loading, and not pay a dime. So that exists already, and we have a couple members that are doing that. I'd love to find more. So if you have United Healthcare Renew Active, come visit me and let's load your bones. The other one is Silver and Fit. So that's another option. I don't remember all the details of this one, but it's, I believe it's a Medicare supplemental. Silver and Fit and Active and Fit. Those are also cover osteogenic loading. So same thing. If you have those coming.
An age limit for when you can start? Because I'm thinking adolescence, that's the critical time period for bone growth. Bone stimulation, is this something that you can bring your teenager in?
Yeah, everyone, you need to be big enough to be able to sit in our devices and use them. So 8 to 10 years old is about where people start to get big enough to do that. And yeah, there's no reason not to. You can build your bones, like I said before, you can build your bones as strong as you want, actually, as far as you could max out your bones and build them into the positive on a DEXA scan, as far as like my bone density is positive too. Like, that's pretty wonderful.
Wow.
And I'd love to say that got there from osteogenic loading.
So like the 90th percentile then, huh?
Yeah, yeah. Hmm. I'm an A plus.
Yes.
But so sprinting, I would credit my high bone density because I was aware of it so young. My mom had osteopenia at 46. I've been kind of tracking this at 16. So I started lifting weights, heavy weights like deadlifts and squats, and like nothing more than 6 reps is where I would keep my, just this is what I was doing. And so consistent heavy deadlifts and running sprints. That's what I always recommend to younger people that are like, okay, I don't have money to come in and do osteogenic loading, or I'm not going to do that. What do I do? Go run sprints once a week. Don't run sprints multiple times a week. We know sprinting is effective for building bones because college athletes have, what they're struggling with is stress fractures. They're sprinting too much.
Right.
They need to chill out a little bit and sprint less. They are overloading their bones. And with osteogenic loading, I only allow someone to come in once every 7 days. If they want to come in 5 days from their last loading session, I will tell them to defer and go to the next week. Like, we want those bones to be fully recovered before we're ready to load again. So sprinting is awesome for that.
You know, this could be really amazing. I'm just thinking about all of the, you know, medications that are out there that decrease our bone density, things that people take in childhood. People are taking, you know, they may have steroids for asthma. They may be taking just multiple medications that decrease bone density, or cancer treatments that would decrease their estrogen and thus decrease bone density. So at all points of life, they could probably use this as a preventive measure.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I'm just amazed.
Absolutely. And that's a big one. Like the cortical steroid use is absolutely big. I mean, there's so many things that affect bone density.
We are out of time and we just touched the surface. We have so much more to talk about. But thank you, Amy Maloof of OsteoStrong, for being with us today. Thanks to our audio engineer, Chris Hyde, our producer, Rachel Cassandra, and my assistant, Bailey Klappenbach. You can find more information on this and previous programs on our website at alaskapublic.org. Let us know your thoughts or suggestions by emailing us at line1@alaskapublic.org. This has been Line One, Your Health Connection. I'm your host, Dr. Jillian Woodruff. Thank you.
Line One is a production of Alaska Public Media, which is solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are those of the host and participants, and not necessarily those of Alaska Public Media, this station, or its underwriters. Learn more about Line One and listen online at alaskapublic.org. This is Alaska Public Media.
Programming on KSDP is supported by the Schumigan Corporation. Located in Sand Point, the Schumigan family of businesses includes property and equity management, the Sand Point Tavern, the Anchor Inn Motel, and the Anchor Inn Lounge. the Shumigin Corporation, serving its shareholders and the people of Sandpoint on the web at www.shumigin.com or by telephone at 907-383-3525. The Shumigin Corporation, hometown values and service, a proud sponsor of KSDP.
KSDP, 8:30 a.m. in Sandpoint, K201DA, 88.1 FM in King Cove, KOLD, 91.9 FM in Cold Bay,